You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. We will be coming to you each and every day with uncensored, in-depth analysis of everything you need to know to win your fantasy leagues this season. You can follow us on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, or join the Facebook discussion groups, www.facebook.com/groups/Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes, and send us a copy or screenshot of it to friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, for a chance to get into one of our listener leagues or other prizes. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Join me on this Matt's Prospect Minute is Matt Thompson. Matt, how you doing?
I'm good, bro. Sitting here enjoying my my week off of work is winding down, but playing some MLB The Show and talking about prospects, so life's pretty good right now.
Right? Well, this should be an interesting system to talk about. The Baltimore Orioles is who we've got on tap for today. So I think they've got a few interesting players, but not a ton. What are your thoughts on the Orioles system as a whole?
Probably one top 100 guy, to be honest. But I mean, this organization does get a lot of shit for being pretty terrible at player development. But I do, I mean, a lot of these guys, I mean, but you have to think of it from their last year's team. Homegrown guys on the roster were Manny Machado, Jonathan Scope, Matt Wieters, Kevin Gausman, and Zach Britton. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, they've been somewhat successful. I mean, you know, I think what the shit they get is because, you know, certain guys either have not panned out to where people thought they would, or they've given up on guys, and those guys turned out to be good, a la Jake Arrieta.
Yeah, I guess it would be unfair not to add like a guy like Michael Givens and Dylan Bundy into that because they were contributors last year too. But I mean, I guess out of all those guys, I mean, you could look at Machado and Wieters and Gausman. Not much development really needed from college for those guys.
And Britton was supposed to be an elite.
Frontline starter.
We're both supposed to be frontline starters. And Bundy. Was, yeah. Yep. And so, I mean, I think there's some fair criticism. I also think that, you know, sometimes you just get unlucky with the guys you pick.
Yeah, Michael Givens was a shortstop, and now he's a power reliever. So, I mean, it's crazy how the things you don't have. But, I mean, they did trade Eduardo Rodriguez, Zach Davies, Josh Hader, Stephen Tarpley, Stephen Brault in the last year and a half. I mean, those are a lot of valuable arms that they kind of wouldn't need right now. But, hey, it is what it is.
Yep. Well, let's jump right in and talk about, are there any guys that are close to the majors that interest you?
Well, Trey Mancini had a cup of coffee this year, and I think I'll get the easy cop out of the way. I think there's not much separating him right now from being like a CJ Cron. He just needs the at-bats. He's not a guy that's going to blow the doors off in any meaning. He's a solid guy. Last year, he was pretty good at AAA, which is a tough park for hitters, and he slashed .282, .357, and .458. He hit .359 in Double A to win the Eastern League batting title. So, I mean, that's worth, I mean, so he can hit. You know, you can't fake that for 2 years in a row, putting up production like that. I'm trying to pull up his stat page right now, but it's not loading. Oh, there you go. I believe, obviously, the thing with Mancini is he's limited to first base or DH, and he's a little underwhelming as a DH bat because, you know, he doesn't have the big power like that. But he also offers no versatility, so he's not going to be a bench player. So if he's not your starting first baseman, which he's kind of a low-end option, for a real team, then you're not really getting anything. I mean, he went to Notre Dame. He's got the big first baseman body, 6'4", 215. Should put on more weight. His brief cup of coffee, like I said last year, 3 homers and 14 at-bats. I mean, that's really, really good, but obviously that's not true talent. But, I mean, like I said, he had a nice year last year. I think C.J. Cron is a really, really, really reasonable outcome for Mancini, and I think the way things go, as of right now, he looks like he's going to have a pretty decently important role for the Orioles next year, barring any late February signings like they typically do.
Yeah, and that's the thing with the Orioles is they are probably still in the Mark Trumbo race.
Mm-hmm.
They may jump into the Chris Carter race or guys like that. So I assume that at some point they're going to sign someone, probably kind of
push Mancini to AAA.
Yeah, so he'll either be in AAA or a bench bat.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't think bench bat's the place for him in the American League. I mean, he doesn't offer any position versatility, so it's kind of a wasted spot.
I agree with you. Anybody else is close to the majors?
Well, their top prospect, and probably the only guy that's going to be in the top 100 in the organization, is Chance Cisco. Obviously, the catching prospect, so I don't know what that does for you. For me, I kind of stay away from catchers if I can. I do, though. There's an interesting study that I want to run past you here. We'll use Baseball America as the default. They have, you know, the grades on all the tools. They gave Cisco a 60 for the hit, 45 power, 30 speed, 50 defense, and 45 arm, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now I look at all those tools, and I looked at something I was doing is who got those grades last year, or like, you know, exact grades, so I could see what they're dealing with. The player that got this exact grades was Colin Moran from the Astros. So that gives you an idea of what kind of hitter this guy, what Cisco is, and just how much it matters that he's a catching prospect. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's an important thing to realize. If he moves off catcher, like he's a batting average only guy at first base or second base, wherever he plays. Because
mm-hmm.
I think he's athletic. If he does have to move where he could play second base, maybe some third. Wieters looks like he'd be on his way out. So it looks like Cisco is going to have the job after Wellington Castillo's time is up. And the thing with Cisco, I guess the easy comp for me to make is he's probably very similar to Yadi Molina he was offensively before minus his big 20 homer breakout year he had in 2013, I believe. He's like that. He's going to flirt with 300, 280, 290. But he's going to offer you 8 to 10 homers. He's going to hit toward the bottom of the lineup. He's going to walk his fair share. But he's not really going to offer you anything else. It'll be empty batting average from the catcher spot. So, yes, that still has – and the problem is that still has potential to be a top 10 at the position with how bad it was last year. So I think it'll be better this year, but, I mean
– Yeah, I think it'll be better this year too. But, I mean, like you said, catcher is rarely the offensive juggernaut that we hope it will be.
Yeah, don't know. You're right about that.
Wellington Castillo is only signed to a 1-year deal. He does have a player option for $7 million, but I think his idea is probably to get more going into free agency next year. So do you think Cisco's up this year, or do you think he's up next year?
There's a chance he's up this year. I mean, he's only 21. He'll be 22 on opening day. If he's up this year, it's in the back half of the year. But I think for sure – I mean, not for sure, but I'm pretty confident in saying he's probably their starting catcher going into 2018.
That sounds fair. All right. Well, if there are no other guys that are really close, what about guys that may be farther away and have some upside?
I've said this. I feel like I've said this about a lot of guys, but it's true. I mean, their draft this year was interesting. I liked some picks better than others. I guess their top pick was a right-handed pitcher, Cody Sedlak. Out of the University of Illinois. Last year was his first year in the rotation because he came out of the bullpen much like Tyler Jay from the Orioles did, or from the Twins prospect did. The thing with Sedlak is he's got deep arsenal, throws 4 pitches, sinker, slider. He's got a developing changeup, which is going to be the key for what his role is. And then he also has a slider. I'm sorry. Sinker, slider, fastball, and curveball. He's advanced, but he just needs more time behind the plate. The fastball gets low 90s, hits 97, and it's a ground ball machine. Like I said, the changeup is the key for him, whether he sticks in the rotation or the bullpen. But if I'm the Orioles, I'm doing whatever I can to ensure that he starts because they need depth there. There's not much in there. He threw a lot of innings. He was crazy overworked last year for U of I, and I'm sure the Orioles weren't too thrilled about that. But they still wanted him to throw for them. So, I mean, he looks to be a durable horse. He threw 27 innings after getting signed, 25 Ks, walked too many guys. But that's such a small sample, I'm not too concerned about it. I think he's a back-end guy in the future with a chance to be more because he's only been a full-time starter for less than a year. So there's some growth there. And he could be a guy that takes off and buck the trend, or he could be another along the list of Orioles starting pitching washouts. I mean, you don't know. I guess we'll save this guy for later. I want to talk about him toward the end of the podcast, Hunter Harvey. But I guess another draft pick of theirs was Keegan Aiken. He was their second-round pick out of Western Michigan, another pitcher. Fastball-heavy lefty, 92-93. Has a slider as his best secondary pitch that he destroys lefties with and used it against righties as well. Has the third pitch, the changeup. Again, the same story for a lot of guys. It's not that great right yet. He's smallish, 6 foot, but he's a little stockier at 200, but I think he's a little bigger than that. The delivery is good. I like the body. He looks like a durable kid. Struck out 133 guys in 109 innings. Was a third-team All-American at Western Michigan. So I'm higher on Aiken than Sedlak. I think Aiken gets to the majors faster, but I think Sedlak has a chance to have more potential, like down the line, as a better fantasy asset. Another draft pick for them was Austin Hayes, who's a outfield prospect out of little-known Jacksonville. He's a third-round draft pick. He won two state championships in high school. He's a 16-homer bat for them in Jacksonville in the Atlantic Sun Conference, led the conference. He's a little power-speed mix. He's a little aggressive at the plate, a lot of doubles that should turn into home runs. He strikes out a lot. That's typical for guys nowadays. He's probably the highest upside, well, among them, but probably behind Jomar Reyes as a higher upside bat in the system. I like Matthias Dietz from this year's draft. He's a junior college kid, throws hard, from a junior college in Southern Illinois. He's 6'6", ideal frame, doesn't get as many strikeouts as you'd hope, throws 90-95 miles an hour with fastball. So he's an interesting ticket to look at, probably a reliever, though. Nowadays the relievers have carried more value than they used to. I guess the polarizing guy for me to talk about is Jomar Reyes.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy because, I mean, he was a Dominican kid signed a few years ago. And I'd say 2 years ago he was, or a year and a half ago or so, he was like on everybody's top 100 list.
Mm-hmm.
Now a lot of people have kind of fallen out of favor on him.
And I'm one of them. If he didn't have the big bonus attached to him, I don't think he'd be getting as much publicity as he is. Everybody talks about him having a monster power potential, and I haven't seen it. Yes, he's a big dude, but he had a 607 OPS in high A this year. He hit 228 and had a 5% walk rate. Like, that's not anything I'm excited about. He was one of the youngest players in the league. He played the whole season at 19, which is worth noting for sure. His carrying tool is the plus raw power, but we haven't seen it yet. Defensively, he probably can't stick a third, which puts more pressure on the bat that hasn't produced yet, so you might have to move to first. They still think he can make the adjustments. I don't, because he doesn't offer anything else besides the power tool, really. He's going to hit for average, but his average will be 250, 260. That's not an asset there. No speed, so I think the only tool is the power, and he hasn't shown it yet. So I'm a little bit out on Jomar. I understand why some people wouldn't be. If you invested in him, you have to hold because you're not going to get what you paid. So, I like Ryan Mountcastle a little bit as an offensive utility guy. If you're in one of these leagues like you, Justin, where it's 30 teams, this is a good guy to grab. He was the first round pick in 2015. Had a nice year in the Sally League at 279, 317, 424 slash with 10 homers and 5 steals. He's a shortstop now, but that's probably not going to happen. He's probably – the footwork's bad. The arm isn't strong enough. He might play second base or left field or just kind of be a guy that moves everywhere. But he's not worth owning unless you're in a deeper league. I guess the DJ Stewart was a first-round pick. He was pretty good for that. Pretty good for Team USA, and he had a good season at Florida State, good collegiate career. He is just not hit. He's got a bad body. He chokes himself off because he's in the crouch. He's kind of a chubbier guy that bats from a crouch and takes away all of his power. He has to play left field because he doesn't have an arm. He's not very athletic. If you have him again, you have to hold, but, I mean, I'm not going out to buy him, that's for sure.
Is it time to talk about Hunter Harvey?
It is, man, and it's really hard to talk about him because what do you – I mean, you can't really say anything that you know. You know what I mean? Everything is so up in the air. He did get back on the mound this year. I believe it was in low A, kind of treated it as like a rehab stint. He's 22 now, so he's still young. Yeah, he threw 12 innings this year, struck out 18, walked 6. So I guess the thing with him is he appears to still have that fastball that was, it's low 90s, can get up to 97 pre-injury, plus curveball, good changeup. The problem with him is he got shut down again this year. He had Tommy John surgery again in July. Now he's going to miss most of this next season, if not all of it. And it begins to wonder, what do you do with him? In May of this, it's been a litany of injuries. He had a sports hernia surgery. He had an ankle injury. He had a strained right flexor mass, a shin injury, an elbow injury in 2015. Then, like I said, in 2016, he had the sports hernia injury that shut down his season. And then he had Tommy John. So he could come back early this year and throw because he did have the surgery early enough, but I think they're going to have to baby him. I wouldn't expect, if anything, not a sizable impact until about middle of the year.
Middle of the year this year or middle of the year next year?
This year, 2017.
I don't think there's an impact coming this year.
Not from the Orioles. I'm just saying in the minor leagues.
The minor leagues. Oh, okay. I thought you were
Yeah. But he's going to have to be in Baltimore by 2019 because he was drafted in 2013. You know what I mean? So he's the clock's going to be up. They're going to have to push him hard in 2018. So I'm interested to see where he goes.
Yeah, that's understandable. I mean, I think if you own him, hopefully you have a minor league DL or something like that because, he's still got upside, but I don't know if he's ever going to be healthy enough to reach it. I think his future is probably going to end up being in the bullpen.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I guess some real quick hitters about a couple other minor guys. Ofelky Peralta is a projectable righty.
Wait, say that again.
Ofelky, O-F-E-L-K-Y. Peralta is a projectable righty, throws low 90s, gets some strikeouts, so far away, delivery's kind of messed up. Might be a reliever profile. Alex Murphy is an offensive first catcher that hit 16 home runs, but he's not worth owning unless you're in a super league like you. Chris Lee is probably a reliever, but he's a crafty little lefty. He had some injuries and absolutely sucked the strikeout rate out of all of his stuff, so he's a big question mark. And then a guy I kind of like a little bit, Tanner Scott. He's a relief prospect all the way, but he throws 100 miles an hour, and they use him in 2-3-inning stints. So I don't really know what that entails, but that seems like he could have some value. Could potentially be late innings, so he might be worth a shot. And Christian Walker is a baby version of Trey Mancini, except he's older, so that's not exciting.
Well, and they also picked up Adam Brett Walker off of waivers.
Yeah, they like home runs, empty home runs and strikeouts.
Yeah, so who knows? He could. I mean, he's 25. He may get a shot at some point.
Yeah, it's possible. And then Yermin Mercedes is a complete deep, deep sleeper. Compliments to the guys at Imaginary Brick Wall, Michael Halpern, and the guys at Razzball for opening my eyes up to Mercedes. Complete shot in the dark, but he had a very, very nice year. He's 23 years old in high A, so keep that in mind. But he had a nice year, and he could be something. He's a catching prospect with good defensive chops, and he hit 345, 404, 570 with 20 homers last year. So
wow. That's pretty impressive, but still, catching prospects, that's very far away.
I tend not to roster catching prospects. I mean, you'll see the next organization we're going to talk about as a catching prospect in the higher levels, and I'm not going to roster him anywhere either. So,
all right. Well, that will wrap us up. You can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTompFWFB. You can reach me on Twitter at JustMasonFWFB. As you heard at the beginning or the top of the show, feel free to give us a 5-star review on iTunes. Really helps us out. If you take a screenshot of it or send me a copy at Fantasy Benefits on Twitter or friendsoffantasybenefits @gmail.com, that'll get you entered into one of our listener leagues and towards other prizes that we will be giving away at some point in the off season. Definitely check out all our ranks and all our articles and things up on friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Matt has been putting up a list of the top prospects per organization to pair with these podcasts, and they go up about the same time that these get released to iTunes. So definitely check that out, friendsoffantasybenefits.com. That will wrap us up. For Matt and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.